Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
11 o'clock here on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon producing the show. We'll get to the trash of the day in about 20 minutes here on the show. I was looking during the break, Cody. Some of you have been asking, based on our conversation last week, about our Circa Millions, our entry.
We're back to trying to win again.
I think so. So you, me, Dusty, Bink, Rob, Speck.
Back on the good side.
We were 0-5. Last week we said, hey, we're better shape to try to go for the last place quarterly prize of $25,000. But we looked at history of the contest. Basically, you can only get two picks right each quarter, roughly, maybe three to get the prize. Well, the problem is we went 3-2. Now, here's where I'm really upset about the whole thing. And this is gambling.
Steelers.
No, the one I'm upset about is we wanted to get the Colts game wrong. So we picked the Colts, meaning we thought the Broncos would win. And if anybody paid attention to that game, you know what happened at the end. The Broncos allowed the Colts to get in field goal range. The Colts missed the field goal, and there's a dumb penalty on the Broncos. They get a re-kick it. The Colts make it. They win. So we really should have... Again, it doesn't matter.
We should have still been in the mix.
We should have been in the mix still at 2-3. Instead, we're 3-2, which is in the wash. Mm. And now we're just... I will say, I was looking at the standings. There's a huge group of people that... Nobody's off to a great start in the contest. I guess what I'm trying to say is we're tied with 1,000 entries at 3-7. There's 24 entries that are 9-1. Nobody's 10-0 in the contest.
Man, not a single entry.
There's 100 entries are 8-2, 357 are 7-3. There's 855 that are 6-4. There's a huge group that's 5-5. Then there's another group, and then there's us. So we're still closer to the bottom than the top. By the way, 9 entries are left that are 0-10. That's what we wanted to be.
Damn.
We wanted to be one of the 9.
Could have been us, man.
So I think we just go back to just make the damn picks.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. You know? We'll talk about the Royals for just a few minutes here coming up in about 10. Mostly just where their season is obviously inevitably ended and what I think that means for the Royals going into next year. But we have talked a lot about Patrick Mahomes and where he ranks currently amongst rushing leaders in the NFL. I'll just tell you right now, it's depending on how you look at it, good or not good. Patrick Mahomes right now is one of the top 15, I believe it is, rushers in all of the NFL. He is, and this is insane in its own right, only 1 yard behind Christian McCaffrey. He's 16th. He is only 2 yards behind Kenneth Walker. He is only 25 yards behind Saquon Barkley. Think about the guys who have played excellent this year at running back. Bijan, right? We all agree? Bijan's having a tremendous year. He's only 32 yards behind him. So when we start talking about the leading backs, running backs in the NFL, Patrick Mahomes is in a similar total yardage range for this. I understand why this has happened. I understand that he is probably the best, one of the best freelance scrambling backs as far as important runs go in the NFL. This is unsustainable, and he's going to get hurt. He cannot, and this is not his fault. They cannot allow him to keep running like this. It's too dangerous. He can do this in the playoffs, Gold, like we've seen him do a million times. That's fine. It's for 4 or 5 games, 3 games. He can't run like this for 17 regular season games. They got to get something else going in the running game. This is crazy.
That's the biggest issue with the run situation with him right now is the obvious, which is at some point you can't keep taking some of these hits. It's like, is it fun to see Mahomes lower his shoulder and run over a guy? Yeah, it's fun. Like, I enjoy it. There's also the reality of it just takes one time where your shoulder pops out or something like that, or another player comes in at the same time and you get sandwiched and all of a sudden you've got another injury. Like that's the concern. So it's not sustainable because of that. It's also just not sustainable because that's not their offense. This isn't the Buffalo
Bills. That's out of their offense.
This isn't the Buffalo Bills where they're designing runs. These aren't design runs for Patrick Mahomes. That's
Lamar Jackson. That's, he's not supposed to be a 1,000-yard back.
That's the situation that's frustrating, is because we know this isn't because the Chiefs are trying to scheme this up. He's doing it out of desperation because there's nobody open, because the O-line's maybe not protecting him, because he's trying to make something special happen because they can't get big plays otherwise. That's the issue. We know we've discussed the lack of explosive plays and all that in a different way. We haven't discussed it enough until now about it's causing Mahomes to play this way, and he's incredible. We all know that, but that's not how the Chiefs wanted to play, and that's not how the Chiefs win football games moving forward. He can do it for a certain play. We've seen that throughout his career. AFC title game against the Titans, whatever. Yeah. We can all think of multiple plays where he used his legs to help them win a football game, and in fact, you know, win a Super Bowl. In the first Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl, when he had a bad ankle, remember, he had that big third down run. It changed the entire game. So we know he can do it, and nobody's saying he can never do it. But it cannot be to the point where you listed off some of the names where you have more yards than some of the top running backs in the NFL.
He's more than Jahmyr Gibbs. I could list a bunch of good running backs. Alvin Kamara, guys that you're like, those are nice running backs that he has more yardage than. But, again, he's only like 25, 30 yards off some of the top backs in the NFL. Bijan Robinson has been, through two games, one of the best backs in the NFL. He has 167 yards. Mahomes has 123. It's not far enough off. The only guy who, there are like three guys who have a good lead on him. Those are Jonathan Taylor, Travis Etienne, and Derrick Henry. Everyone else is within spitting distance of where Patrick Mahomes has been. He also has two rushing touchdowns, which is second best in the NFL. It's just an unsustainable model. My genuine fear, Gold, is that, and I love that he's doing it in the sense that I think he feels the pressure to win the game, and he knows that he's got to do anything it takes to win a game. And so he's running in a way and in a style that he doesn't typically do until a big-time game in a regular season, or more importantly, a big-time game in the playoffs. When he runs this much, it usually means their offense is out of sync. And it is out of sync, so it's not like a mystery. Right. He just doesn't usually also do this. He also leads the NFL in yards per attempt because of the exact same thing. It's not like he's getting the carries the other guys are. He has 13 carries to Bijan Robinson's 34, and he's only 30 yards behind him. Right. I mean, but 9.5 yards per rush. Do you know that he has 10 runs for first downs? 10. That also leads the NFL.
Yeah, that's all a problem. That's things. A major problem.
Yes. These stats are both impressive, and I'm also like, stop it. Like, just seriously.
Yeah, you shouldn't like these as a Chiefs fan at all. It speaks once again to the issues that this offense has, present day issues that they have. And we'll find out here in about 35 minutes or so from Andy Reid if Xavier Worthy is expected to practice today. I would assume he is. And if he continues to trend in the right direction, maybe Nate will ask more specifically, you know, do they think, you know, he's going to have the full range of catch radius and everything like that? I don't know if Andy will answer that question, but, what are they worried about, any injury risk? Is he going to have the same playbook access? Meaning, is the playbook going to have the full Xavier Worthy experience available if he plays? These are all things that he's not going to say, but these are just questions I have, at least heading into a Wednesday before Sunday's game against the Giants.
I just tell you, the number of yards he runs for in the game is going to be a big deterrent. Like, if you just told me now, you're like, all right, I know for a fact Patrick Mahomes has 45 yards rushing on Sunday. I'm like, well, this didn't go great. I don't love that. And if you tell me it's 22, I'm like, now we're talking. Mm-hmm. We're in the wheelhouse now. That's a range where he just scrambled on a couple of thirds and all is well. No real worries there. Again, my biggest concern is health. We don't have to go through the list right now. Maybe we can do that tomorrow, but how many starting NFL quarterbacks are we already missing through 2 weeks? It's enough, right? Without even saying it.
Four or five.
Burrow, Cincy, Minnesota, Justin Fields, Minnesota.
Jets, yeah. San Francisco. Yeah.
Five or six. And those guys were just like playing regular quarterback. Joe Burrow just got like tackled on a normal play. And so, no, I don't want to risk the possibility of, because that's like, injuries happen, and you can get hurt playing football. It's
course,
a dangerous sport.
Of course.
They're heightening the likelihood of it just based on the fact that they are having him run as much as they are. It's just too dangerous. It's just too dangerous for him and their offense, and it means a lot of bad things are happening.
We'll get to the trash of the day in about 8 minutes. I know you wanted to briefly talk about the Royals. Obviously, we were hoping that a week or so ago that this series would be massive. We'd be hyped up for it. Big crowds at the K. That's just not the reality. Things went south in a hurry in the last 7 to 10 days. They're not making the playoffs. We all know they needed to win their final 12 and get help. They lost last night. It's over.
It was over before.
But you know what I mean? Like, there was still a mathematical chance. Like, I don't even know if that's even possible. They needed to win 12. I don't think it's
if they won 11 in a row, and technically the magic number is below that, but yes, point taken.
Last night, if there was anything looking ahead to 2026, it was obviously about Carter Jensen, because he hit his first career home run yesterday at Kauffman Stadium. And
had a 3 or 4 hit day.
He and Cags are going to have to be a big piece offensively in 2026, no matter how you feel about anything else with the team. Those two are going to have to be crucial pieces.
It's weird, because I think we had asked ourselves the question. We didn't even get around to it because at the time there was a lot going on with the Chiefs. But like, we had asked our question like internally. Do you think if the Royals could go back on it, would they even call up Kegs? Would they have bothered with it? Would they just left him in AAA? All of us. And now I'll say, from a fan base perspective, had they kept losing, a revolt would have begun. In the sense that, like, how can a person hitting this way in AAA not be in the big leagues? This is crazy. I don't regret the Royals going for it at all. Not the trades they made, not signing Seth Lugo instead of trading him away, not calling up Jack Caglione. For really two big major reasons. One is, Cags and Carter Jensen are going to have to be a big part of the solution next year anyway. So if Jack Caglione's going to have some learning curve, and he obviously is, he's been better since he's been called up, but not good since he's been called up. If he's going to have a learning curve, I'd almost rather him get it out of the way now. And I don't regret them, because if Lugo can still help them get to a playoff next year, it was worth it to me. And more importantly, it told most of the stars in this team you actually believe in them. Salvador Perez, Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, players you're really going to rely on. You told them, and they didn't repay it this time, but you told them, we believe in you. We think that this is a winning team, and we are a winning organization, and we will give you resources in order to try to do that. And for those reasons alone, I don't regret them trying to go for it. I understand in retrospect, you could just say, what if you just sold it all away, Gold? Because they weren't going to the postseason anyway.
It's all contingent.
But I'm glad they went for it.
It's all contingent, though, on how Lugo looks next year. You know, I mean, the trade deadline, you know, what would Lugo brought back? We all think it would have brought back some pretty impressive pieces. That's true. Seeing how poor he's been since the trade deadline is obviously terrible timing for the organization. I don't know if Seth Lugo would have pitched great after the deadline if we'd be having any different conversation about the playoffs.
You're
I don't think
back,
so.
I think.
So I guess what I'm trying to say, it's all about next year. If Seth Lugo in the first 2 months next year, he comes out of the gate and he looks bad and it's a struggle, well then absolutely it was the right, yes, it is hindsight, but I'm saying, like, at that point, yeah, it was obviously the right wrong decision. But I get, right now, I still get the thought process of what they were thinking. The one that I still was hesitant on, you know, was there a bullpen arm or two they could have moved on from to get some pieces back?
Yeah, I could have been talked into, at a time, a position of strength. Obviously, they had some injuries there too, but at the time, a position of depth, could they have moved on there?
Someone says, come on, after seeing the other pitchers be really good, you can't say signing Lugo isn't a regret. That's just not true.
I don't regret it. I
disagree with the text. We just have a different opinion. I think you can still say it's not something you regret. I think if you are thinking this team's a playoff team in 2026, Seth Lugo is still going to be a key part of that. He needs to be a key part of that. They have pitching depth. I'll give you that. Like, Burger's been awesome to see and what they were able to get in the trade. But remember, if we think they're going to get an outfielder in the offseason, they're probably going to have to trade one of these pitchers that have looked good to go and get said outfielder. The free agent market is not going to get it done. I think they have to trade somebody that has control. So therefore, you would still need Lugo. I think, and Lugo, by the way, is not who they would trade, and I don't think they can trade Chris Bubich because of the injury. So I believe the only guys in the pitching staff they can trade are guys that have control, like Noah Cameron, for example. I know we don't want to hear that locally, but that's a guy that has more value than some of these other pitchers. They might have to move one of them and still lean on Seth Lugo and lean on Cole Reagan. So, and Reagan's pitches tonight, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So that's important. And then, of course, in the minors, maybe they have a prospect they can trade. But I disagree. Like, I think we would have said before Bubich was the trade candidate. I don't know if you're getting much for him. He's coming off an injury. By that point, nobody's seen him pitch in months.
What's your lean for next year? So Carter Jensen's only played 9 major league games. And this is the same thing as when Jack Caglione came up. Nine major league games not going to make your career because he had a multi-hit night and a two-home run night. His batting average now in those nine games is .286 with a .400 on base percentage and a over 1,000 OPS. It was not that before last night's game. Took a nice little jump. Jack Caglione, if I asked you right now, is Jack Caglione, let's say it's a righty on the mound, just so I can give you maximum opportunity. Is Jack Caglione in the opening day lineup for the Royals next year?
Yes.
He's played 50. He will be the right. He's played 53 games. He's hitting 152 with a .228 on base and a .505 OPS. He's been bad. I'm not trying to sugarcoat that or pretend that that's not the case. He's gotten on base and been more patient since he's been called back up, but it's still not been perfect there either. The other thing is that in 53 games, he's hit six homers. That would put him on pace to be about an 18 home run guy, which is still quite a bit below what you would expect. I just didn't know. Do you think he's the majority starting right fielder for most of 2026?
Here's the thing, like whether people made, he has to be. He has to be.
For this to all work, I kind of think you're right.
He has to be. Yeah. Are they going to go? They're going to go acquire two outfielders?
I mean, and they're definitely picking up Salvies.
Like they're going to go acquire two outfielders? I don't think so. There's also, you know, Kyle Isbell had a very nice season for himself, but, you know, it's not like we're acting like he had an all-star season or something. He did not.
No, he was a perfectly fine.
They're not going to replace three outfield positions, but they got to replace one.
Oh, no, they're definitely replacing one. Everybody wants Kyle Schwarber because he's got 50 bombs or whatever again.
I understand.
That'd be fun. They are crowded at the you play first base, you play DH. You're not really a true outfielder.
Schwarber will be 33 next year, too. I understand people are like, well, he's hitting 50 now, but the Royals' luck, they'll sign him when he's 33, and he'll suddenly not have it anymore.
I'll just tell you right now, if they're willing to pay Kyle Schwarber, I'm in, but I don't think that's happening, so like we don't have to really entertain that conversation. I put that in the very, very, very low probability camp.
Someone says Perez should be traded. Well, they would have to pick up his option and then trade him in that scenario because he doesn't technically have a year next year without them picking up the option.
We all think that's a lock now, right?
Based on his performance,
am I wrong?
I think so. And they won't even play Carter Jensen much behind the dish down the stretch here. So, yes.
Yeah, I think Carter Jensen's going to be the twice a week he catches, maybe three times a week in a weird week he catches. And then he has to rotate in at DH. My biggest fear with Carter, please don't try to teach him outfield. Just let him either DH or catch. And if he's not in the lineup, if he plays a little bit less than some of the other guys, I'll live for a year. Do not take some other non-regular player like Cags. And Cags has looked okay in right.
He's
like,
gotten better.
He's gotten fielder. A lot better. But like, I don't need another person playing out of position while also trying to hit at the big league level.
I tend to agree. I don't really want to see a story in late January that says, oh, so, you know, Carter Jensen's been working all offseason as an outfielder. Like, oh, no. Yeah, I hope that's not the plan.
Does that make them make that difficult decision where it's like, you know what? We're going to have we're going to go ahead and move on from Salvi, and Carter's going to catch, and then Jack can full DH, and
You do the 1 year. You do the 1 year where Carter plays a little bit less than a traditional starting catcher. Salvador Perez is still your starting catcher, and then the next year you pass the torch. Carter Jensen has played nine big league games, and this team will be expected to compete for a division and compete for a playoff spot again next year. That can't be with a rookie catcher, a rookie right fielder, and without your captain, Salvador Perez. I don't think they'll be anywhere close to that.
Coming up in about 25 minutes, we will hear from Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes. Also, we'll keep an eye on a couple players that maybe we'll speak, but in particular, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Crash of the day.
All right, so this one is fascinating to me because I didn't know that you could do this. I understand when you file bankruptcy, depending on the type of debt, it can be wiped away, even as a business and everything. But Publishers Clearinghouse, you guys are familiar, right? The big check, they come to your front door.
Ed McMahon or whatever, pop by.
Mm-hmm. And then we've had some fun. Like everybody's got the spoof call before where it's actually, oh, you've won from Publishers Clearinghouse. Anyway, they went bankrupt, okay? They filed bankruptcy. A different company or creditor or whatever has bought Publishers Clearinghouse. The issue, though, is part of that agreement to settle like the debt or whatever was any future winners they will pay and operate like normal. If you were someone that prior to this July had won a publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes and were promised,
so like,
you know,
$5,000
a week for the rest of your life, you know, $20,000 a month the rest of your life. Those people are done getting money.
What?
Yep. There was a story last night.
That's cold.
Someone said they knew something was up when they didn't get their $200,000 payment back in March.
Would they normally get like once a year or something?
And they will never get it. They're done. And some of these people are saying they're going to have to sell their house. And you can be, and I get it. The unfortunate reaction some would have would be like, oh, well.
What were you doing all that other money? But like, still, you were expecting to get it.
You thought you were getting $20,000 in some cases a month for another 40 years if you were 40 years old or 50 years old or something, right? And now you're getting nothing, so you probably have to go back to work and all this. What a mess. How is this allowed?
So you're telling me that I can essentially enter a lottery and win the money, and now you're telling me that I can't have it?
That's why you got to take the lump sum, man. Do not do the annuity payments.
Is there a lump sum?
Well, no. You said lottery.
Yeah, yeah.
This is different. But these people could not take the lump sum. It was paid out as a month. You know, it was basically $5,000 a month.
Yeah, just as like John, who was promised $5,000 a week for life in 2012, but hasn't received a payment this year, which means he got $5,000 a week for 13 years. And then it said forcing him to sell his possessions and hunt for a job after more than a decade out of the workforce. This feels like a nightmare. I thought I was going to go on for the rest of my life. I didn't have to worry about money. 61 years old. Now, I mean, and again, I get it. If you gave me $5,000 a week for a year, Gold, you know, it's not.
But that's not the point.
I was living my life based on the fact that I was supposed to get $250,000 every year.
You made life and financial decisions based on the fact that you were making, you know, or getting income of $20,000 a month for another 40 years. I don't need to work anymore. I'm good.
I definitely think these guys are getting screwed. I will say, it did not help that John in this article said John was being forced to sell some of his most cherished possessions. And if you and I were thinking most cherished possessions, it'd probably be different than a jet ski and the trailer for the jet ski. He loves his jet ski, and now it has to be gone. This sucks, though. I can't believe they just get to get off with not paying.
Isn't that terrible? Isn't that? I mean, that's crazy that they're allowed to do this.
Part of it is it isn't a $5,000 check. He was supposed to just get his annual payment, the $5,000 a week this past
time. This is why I told you guys, if I ever won the lottery, I'm still working. I'm still going after it. I'm not just going to be done.
No, you take the lump sum. If you won the Mega Millions or Powerball last week or whatever it was, you take the lump sum and you get your $300 million right now and be done with it. And who cares if the lottery ever went belly up?
It's also different. $250,000 a year, maybe I do still need to work. Versus, like, when you're talking with a guy just, you know, when you win $2 billion in the Powerball, my ass never picked, I'm never doing a job again.
Okay,
You know?
I mean, but if you win $5,000 a week, like, not that you can't bank on it, but you can't obviously collect it all just right away. You're just getting the $5,000 a week.
It says they owe $2 million this year, $26 million in future prize money they will not be handing out anymore.
Yeah, this person probably should have kept up with some stuff, you know?
I'll be honest, I'm still not even sure exactly how that works. I just fill out a form, you just give me money? What was that? How did I enter the publishing
clearance house? I believe my understanding, and someone could help me out, on the text line, my understanding, Publishers Clearinghouse was a magazine back when magazines were very, very popular. I believe that's what it was.
I'm curious, how old did you say this person was?
61.
Oh, just go work at a golf course.
He's used to a certain lifestyle, man. For the last 13 years, he's earned. Now this is kind of crazy. He has made from Publisher Clearinghouse $3.3 million in the last 13 years.
Okay, well then where does it, some of it is like, what have you done with your money?
Pre-tax. Part of this is like, what the hell are you trying to sell your jet ski? You made I won't make $3 million in my life.
Now, but here's so pre-tax, you said it. So let's say this guy actually banked what we'll call $1.5 million. Be real, if you thought you had another $3 million coming though, you're probably buying a bigger house.
Yeah
with true. A bigger mortgage. I'm not saying he didn't make some mistakes, but also you thought the money was going
to
keep on
There's
coming.
There's no reason to think the money was going to for 13 years on whatever. January 1st, you got a check for $260,000 every year for 13 years. It's hard to imagine that money train just going to stop.
A lot of people saying that's why you sell it to J.G. Whitworth. Yeah,
877 cash now.
Do you have a annuity that's paying out over a year, but you need cash now? Call J.G. Whitworth.
Yeah, that is true. The people that sold it to J.G. Whitworth, those people are feeling good. That's Whitworth's problem, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm. They're feeling real bad.
That's the trash of the day. That's awful. I mean... I didn't know you were allowed to do that, even if you file bankruptcy, that your obligations, I guess it is debt, right? Your debt obligation. But I just thought you can't screw over all these people. But I guess it happens all the time with debt that people are owed. But my goodness. All right. Up next, the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Let's talk about players thinking of money that were given extensions and more money and what the return on that investment for the Chiefs have been. Plus, we're going to hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
Here in about 10 minutes or so, we'll hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes on your home for the Chiefs. 96.5 The Fan. I wanted to go through and talk a little bit about players that have been given extensions. You know, yesterday we, and on Monday's show, we were discussing, hey, your star players, some of your best players on the team have made mistakes, haven't played up to their level. It's also part of the reason why you're 0-2. We went and we talked about Travis Kelce and the drops, et cetera. Chris Jones, a mistake in week one. So I wanted to go through players in the last, let's call it 12 to 16 months that have been given extensions and how you feel about each one of those players right now with the basically what the return on investment has been. Now, some of these players, you saw them play last year under the new contract. Some of them, we've only seen two games since the contract.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep that in mind. Now, Chris Jones, is that 16 months now? Has it been 16 months?
Yep.
So he's out of that window. So he doesn't qualify here.
For the contract. Yeah, but he's already performed on some of that contract.
Exactly.
Outside the window of the guys you're talking about. The guys you're talking about are Trey, Creed, Bolton, Noah Gray,
and Karloftis. Yeah, I mean, so I think most notably for me, honestly, as much as it's harder to notice, and I was asking Ross about it when we had him on, I think currently, Trey Smith, Creed Humphrey. Now, Creed played all last season with the new deal, and he was fine last year.
Yep.
But 2 weeks into this year, I'm most disappointed on that list, actually, in Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey. I don't think they have played well at all the first 2 weeks. Now, I think they're way more likely to correct it than a lot of players. I think they will be just fine. I'm not worried about the deal long term. But 2 weeks into the season, if we're being honest, Trey Smith has not played up to the level of what he did last year or the deal. They have not been great. They're too good of football players to play the way they have the first 2 weeks of the season.
No, I agree. I mean, but they got a whole year of...
For sure.
They got a whole year of Creed Humphrey being the number one pro football focus graded, however yep. you want to look at it, all pro level center. Yep. He was great. He had fixed his snapping issues, and he was great. And honestly, I think some of the issues you've seen with him are related to some of the guys around him, like where Kingsley doesn't necessarily know the angle or the thing he's supposed to do. I'm fine with Creed, not just because of Creed is good. Just I'm okay with Creed. I am with you on Trey Smith. But honestly, the two most disappointing are the two guys they signed this year. Noah Gray's been a ghost. He's been a non-factor.
Noah Gray's last year.
Yeah, and he's been a non-factor this year in the offense. And an offense that could use a weapon right now. They're down wide receivers. They got no one running around in the field. Everyone talked about what a tremendous offseason he had. He has 4 yards. Through two games. I'm not saying he's not supposed to be a world beater. I'm not asking for that. But he is supposed to be a factor in the offense. And the other guy's Nick Bolton. But now the problem with Nick Bolton is I didn't want them to pay a linebacker, top linebacker money. And because it's linebacker and Spags loves him. And so I had to accept it as being a part of it. And pretty much it's as simple with him as his flaws are still his flaws.
Of course, he wasn't going to magically
fix them. He's not a different player. He's the same player, but now he just makes a whole lot more money.
Yeah,
and before, it's like it's easier to forgive when the money doesn't line up.
Yeah, the Bolton thing's going to be a...
Karloftis has been really good in the pressure game.
The Bolton thing's going to be a disagreement probably the rest of his playing career.
Most likely.
Because you and I have differed on that draft pick from day one, differed on the contract. I think we all know in coverage that is not a strength. It's pretty obvious. I also think it's harder to watch a football game and give somebody credit for just being a really good run stuffer. And when we talk about the run defense, the rushing defense being pretty good, he's part of that equation as well. They also like him as a leader, but also make, you know, from the being the true green dot of that defense. As we said, you can't lose Reed and Bolton in the same offseason. They moved on from Reed. They kept Bolton. I think it's hindsight 2020 if people are now saying they should have kept Reed and got rid of Bolton. I think that's a little bit of hindsight being 2020 based on 2 weeks of the season. But I'm not arguing. In third down, I actually thought it was interesting. I thought Bosa was playing a little bit more in coverage and maybe a little more athleticism from that perspective. But I think Nick Bolton, Nick Bolton 2 weeks in is not any worse of a football player today than he was on January 15th of last year in the playoffs. I think he's the same football player.
So let's just say from like a tackling coverage, all that part. Here's part of the issue. Part of the reason you paid Nick Bolton is what you said. Green dot, get everyone lined up. This defense feel lined up to you?
In week two, it did.
You're
and lined
right.
up was more in the secondary, in fairness. The issues
sure,
of week
but he's
one
a
was...
Part of, he is a part of that. That's the way... That's why they like him, is that he gets everybody on defense lined up.
Yeah, but that's
he's
why everybody's trying to talk about...
the front seven.
Yeah, but that's why everybody keeps trying to bring up the Justin Reed thing all of a sudden, out of nowhere. We got so many texts. People didn't want Justin Reed back at all this, and then after week one, everybody was acting like he was a future Hall of Famer at safety for the Chiefs.
It wasn't
last 3 years.
Saying that.
I'm not saying you.
I just like the defense has been, and yes, last week was significantly better. I'm just saying for part of his job to be like making sure everyone is where they're supposed to be. That's not been perfect this year either. Look, the truth is that two games in it, this is part of the problem. This goes back to the cap. Part of the issues with the Chiefs and any team who has a high level starting quarterback is your roster gets worse as the cap goes up. Obviously, some of the teams are going through that. They haven't hit Justin Herbert's big balloon number yet, Gold, so they haven't had to worry about it. The Bills roster is not as good as the Bills roster 2 years ago. The Ravens have been working around it, though that's because they've been one of the better drafting teams in the NFL. But the same thing applies. So once you start paying your guys, which the Chiefs have primarily spent their money on, they have to perform. Creed and Trey have to be a part of one of the best offensive lines in football. And you and I both said that. We said we'd just give them a few weeks while they work out a second-year left guard and a rookie left tackle, but they also are not living up to their end of the bargain.
I would say,
generally speaking, Karloftis might be the only person who's played up to the contract to this point, at least for this year. Obviously, Creed played great last year, and Trey played really well last year.
Someone says, you just hate Bolton because he went to Mizzou. I can't think I can say that word. Salty Jayhawk. Well, if you're going to text in and try to take a shot for some weird random reason, at least like know what the hell you're listening to.
Did you see what he responded with after you texted him?
Yes, he said UKU fans don't understand. With all due respect to Cody,
he says stick to lacrosse, Joko boy.
With all due respect to Cody on this one, not to the texter on this one, but to you, Cody was the one trashing Nick Bolton. I've been since he was in the league. Admittedly,
I hated that pick from day one.
I've been a fairly strong Nick Bolton defender on this show. So again, if you're gonna like try to take a shot,
at least
be correct. I know it's tough for maybe if you're a Missouri grad. I don't know if that's tough for you to comprehend it. I'm not sure, but you were wrong on that. I was actually defending
there
Bolton.
Was.
The Jayhawk was
so
Cody, who is more of the Missouri guy, was actually not defending.
In
him,
fairness, but yeah, I have come around to the idea that Nick Bolton holds value to this team. I didn't throw a fit when they gave him the contract. My stance in linebacker is my same stance in running back. It is a low-value position. I like spending my money on high-value positions. I like quarterbacks and wide receivers and defensive ends and corners, and I like dropping a lot of dough there, and I like keeping linebacker and running back in positions that have been fairly easy to replace. For instance, Bolton. You're like, well, I mean, can we replace Bolton? I'm like, I don't know. He was found at pick 60 in the second round. That seems like an easy enough position to replace. I know I can't replace Chris Jones.
A lot of
Jones.
Good linebackers come out of the second round.
I know I can't replace Chris Jones at 60 in the second round very often. I know I can't replace Trent McDuffie at pick 70 in the third round. Like, my whole thing is more positional value. He has weaknesses, and I understand his weaknesses. And he has strengths, and I understand Bolton's strengths. The question whether or not is he to this point playing up to the contract he was given? I think the answer for almost every person on this list this year is no. That's why they're 0-2.
Yeah.
Last year, there's guys who had earned it a little bit, including Trey didn't play under his contract. Creed earned his contract last year. I'd say Noah Gray earned his contract last year and did a nice job for the team.
And
so did George Karloftis.
I think
And there's a lot of season left, right?
Karloftis
so nobody is saying like you should be regretting the deal yet. But it's just saying when you look at the performance from multiple players, there's a lot of guys they have given money to, and some of those guys aren't stepping up.
And if you look at, so I went and I looked at George Karloftis. So I don't know, I forget what the expectation was exactly, but
what's next? 10, 12 sacks?
Yeah. So Okay, if the expectation is 12, then he is underperforming those. He's on pace for 8 sacks this year through 2 games.
So
he's also third in the NFL.
He's getting to the quarterback. So. I was going to say he's getting there. He's just not finishing the sack.
Yeah, we got to get to. I'm not going to try to defend. I would just say 2 weeks into the season, pacing stats are a disaster. I mean, there's
Patrick
a lot.
Mahomes is pacing for 1,000 yards.
Pacing stats 2 weeks in are kind of tough. That's all. We are late for a break. Up next, we're going to hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.